Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to your one and only Mod State podcast. How are you, my friend?
I'm just fired up. Yeah, you said we were going to do one really hot and heavy quick one, and then, you know, a second longer groove. So, I mean,
well, let's get started.
Episodes.
You got me all fired up now.
Well, I mean, you know, you said ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking, are we out of double digits in this country there yet?
Oh, geez. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the first fast, hot, and heavy congressional pay boost. That's hot and heavy. All right. Yeah. So, popping up on the radar.
In 10 years, they want some money slapped on the dresser.
Look, I just think that no matter what, I don't care if it's 10 years, 20 years, when the public hears about Congress and the legislature, you know, etc., trying to give themselves a pay bump, everyone's like, get burp.
Can you blame them?
Nope. No, because I think...
What do they do exactly again?
My gut reaction every single time is...
What would you say you do here?
And it's beyond what they do, right? Because it's... I don't know
what...
What
you didn't do, James.
I don't know what they do. I don't know... They don't know my job just as much as I... don't know theirs, even though they're...
You don't know who they do.
There's just far more public. But 174 Gs and housing allowance. Like, I know D.C. is expensive, but you're not even working as many hours as I am.
And the best gripe, and this wasn't just one representative that said this. There was a number of them that complained, well, I mean, we have to maintain more than one household. Oh, well, now that sounds like a personal problem.
Wow, that sucks.
The thing for Paul Ryan is, during session, he would sleep in his office and fly home to be with his family on the weekend.
You mean to tell me that 174 Gs, you can't pay two mortgages?
Well, yeah, I mean, now maybe live in Central Plaza, Bethesda, Maryland, yeah, and maintain a place in the old Garden District of New Orleans, you can't.
Maybe not, but...
I mean, and all these staffers. Well, maybe you don't need eight staffers in your posse. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
And that's also 174 is a freshman rate, might I remind everyone. You go up because of tenure. This whole, we don't get a pay raise. Yes, you do get a tenured raise. That's not true.
Well, I mean,
also,
yeah,
they get more money per committee assignment, each committee assignment.
Yeah.
Don't feel sorry for him.
I don't. I really don't.
Well, let's continue.
Yeah, well, anyway, so...
Let's see who jumped in on this.
Gosh, who jumped in on this? I mean, so
the fair-haired kid herself.
Good Lord. AOC in there talking about pay raises on her freshman go-round. Now, she voted for it, or has signaled voting for it. To which I... Look, here's the thing. I'm not against pay raises. I want a pay raise. I work very hard to get pay raises. I'm going to school to, what, increase my adjusted gross income. So, you know, it also is performance-based, right? So that's funny. And we're kind of lucky if it's adjusted for inflation, right? So
there was a Mick Jagger film called Performance once.
I believe it.
It's a true story.
Then I trust
Rated
you.
X, then him I trust. Anita Hallenberg.
Then I trust you.
I didn't watch it.
And so look, I was. It wasn't so much AOC saying, "Look, my colleagues have had a pay freeze in some shape or form since for 10 years. It's time to bump this up. Like that's it. I'm. That's what we're doing. Like in that case, 10 years. That's a long time since a pay bump. I'll give you that." It was her explanation about it that I think, t- tickled me the wrong way, quite frankly. And her...
Well, I'm going to know the right way to tickle you, sugar.
Well, it's hot and heavy. Quickie here is doing the job. She proposed that there needed to be an increase in cost of living and a general increase in pay, because without it, there's a potential for the dark money to continue to roll in, and that this is a way to mitigate this. To which I said, huh? You mean to tell me dark money rolling in, going to campaigns, etc.
A $4,000 a year COLA increase is going to prevent that.
As if that $4,000 increase is what the dark money is covering. No, these people are getting paid.
Well, yeah, because then they almost by mission of action admit that what they're saying on one side of their mouth isn't true, because then comes the part of, well, we're going to restrict lobbying within X amount of time frame. All right, forget the time frame. You think any lobbyist is fighting over $48,000 a year?
No. Look, am I crazy? So the one that is one thing that kind of came out of a bit of this talk, and there's a couple of videos of her floating. Yeah, there's a couple other videos floating around that she makes some good sense in terms of the way that it's set up in DC within the Beltway. That yes, you could. There's no illegality rather, to having an entire campaign funded by corporations. Then get to Congress, write laws for said corporation, and effectively hold stock in those corporations. I think that's far more troubling, personally. And I do support her. Who would have thought, buddying up with Ted Cruz to do this sort of anti-lobby bill for congressional members.
And in the same week, she's defending Paul Manafort for being forced to go into solitary confinement. I mean, hey, an A for consistency here.
I'll give you that. So,
but still, it's strange. Yeah. Shall I say, bedfellows?
So, but I do support. Like, I personally believe, and I could be wrong. Maybe it's, I don't know where this falls, progressive or conservative. I don't know. But my initial gut reaction to the idea of being able to lobby after being a congressional member, I believe that there should be a pretty healthy hiatus on that. You know, I'm a capitalist, dude. Like, I really am. But I just feel it's kind of gross in the same way that you could, there's no illegality to having a completely corporate funded campaign and then write laws for them, because it really doesn't look out. Ultimately, for like for-profit lobbying, and I don't know, maybe I just made that up, but the bulk of lobbying, where the money is in big business, is in industry. The percentage of sort of nonprofit, individual, like grassroots type lobbying, just does not have the same impact. I mean, that's a fact. And to think that those individuals, the congressional members, are turning around and lobbying for the sake of the common person, or for some sort of nonprofits, et cetera.
Notwithstanding one independent 78-year-old senator from Vermont, yes.
Well, okay. Let's, out of the many that have been through those halls.
Out of 25 declared candidates, 26 for the Oval Office, there's one.
Yeah, that's it. So all that stuff, the lobbying, the fact that corporations effectively can finance an entire campaign is a little alarming. It is kind of gross. But again, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. I think any sort of law that gives a little bit of the power back to the individual, as that's what the country is founded on, I think is important. I mean, look, man, I took a whole course on like corporate social responsibility, et cetera. And I think corporations, ultimately, a lot of the time, their corporate social responsibility comes from getting caught with their pants down, and then they do a lot of good after that. But
thank goodness.
But you know, ultimately,
they take pictures.
Yeah, someone does.
All right.
Anyway, I think giving government back to the control of the people. I just don't know how in control it is with that type of money floating around.
Well, hey, look, I've got a wonderful bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to show you that's for sale.
Okay. There's some diminishing returns involved with
right with that before type of... I show you oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. Okay. My problem with this is it's gaslighting. Okay. And I'm not saying each and every person involved is guilty. I'm questioning AOC's motives. Perhaps they're pure as the freshly driven slush. All right. But this comes off to me like what former Speaker John Boehner would call a veneer bill, a veneer issue. We get to say, oh, look, we're doing something here. When over here, the morass continues. For instance, Exhibit A, being the fact that out of the nearly 65 years, that there's been laws on self-reporting international revenues by lobbyists, quote unquote, foreign agents. Paul Manafort's the eighth person convicted under those laws. Hmm. You're telling me he's the eighth person ever to not fully report his international revenues? Doesn't make him innocent. I'm not defending him based on that because, well, he's still under the law guilty. Okay. But you see, I think what I'm driving at.
Well, the question then is,
we get to feel good about ourselves and say, we did something today, boy.
Do you see an uptick? Do you predict an uptick in that type of reporting? I don't think you'll see a change, because I'll bet you a lot of these people have been doing it year in and year out, and then one year they finally disclose it, and then said,
you know what they're thinking? They're probably thinking, don't be a dumbass and buy $40,000 ostrich skin.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't lie to banks, defraud banks about you making millions of dollars you're really not making to buy properties you don't need.
Yeah.
You know, Manafort really just made some dumb extraneous, like unnecessary mistakes. Like you were trying to get in trouble almost.
Well, what's the movie with not Jamie Foxx, I think it was called American Gangster.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's, right. Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. Yeah, remember? So for years they couldn't figure out who this guy was because he woke up at 5 o'clock. In the morning, exercised, went to church, inconspicuous, right?
And the story was actually more about that guy's rival, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character.
Oh, I know.
Movie Hollywoodized it, but anyway, yeah. Continue.
So the reason he got picked off, well, according to the movie, I don't know the true story, but even though it's still a good, it's a good explanation to the Paul Manafort situation, he got ringside tickets to a primetime like boxing fight. And his fiance, wife, girlfriend, whoever it was, got him a fur coat to wear. And so he shows up, and of course, all these cops are running surveillance at this boxing match, and they're like, "Who's this guy, Mister out of nowhere, ringside seats to primetime, fur coat?"
Mm. Right. It's like Al Capone going down on tax evasion.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. Yeah, Paul Manafort is like, lie better, dude. I mean, you defrauded banks based on it wasn't a few thousand dollars. We're talking about him lying to banks, disparities in seven digits.
Yeah.
Going, Paul, they're gonna catch you there, pal.
Someone, I guess maybe if you just feel frisky, you're going for it.
I guess he did.
Huh.
And
I mean,
frankly, he got a gift from the sentencing. T.S. Eliot. Alice did him a solid.
God, we're just all over the place on this episode, but I saw a funny meme recently, and I'm sure it's been floating around for a while, but it was someone's, and it's probably been floating around for a while, but it just tickled me, and I'm reminded of it now. It was a tweet that said something like, hey, remember when the Panama Papers came out, and we found out that the ultra-rich were just moving all their money around and in shell companies and laundering money, et cetera. Remember how many people took the fall for that? It's like, oh, yeah, I remember. No one. And then someone writes a post underneath. They're like, oh, no, remember the journalist? Yeah, she was killed. The journalist that broke the story.
Seriously. I mean, that's there's situations where, you know, there was a situation without getting into names with my extended family where, excuse me, where had a relative through an unjust custody situation, protecting her grandkids, but she was in a dry county in Alabama, Floribama, really. It was right on the border of the panhandle of Florida.
Mm.
And she had alcohol in her hand on the front porch, and basically told the Geneva County Sheriff's Department to kiss her ass. You know, she was taking care of grandkids and it wasn't their property. Well, so when they quite literally dragged her to the patrol car into the Sheriff's Department to, you know, the lockup, one of my family members went and was, you know, said, look, you know, what do we need to do to get her out and blah, blah, blah. And this county is wet and notorious, okay? And one of my other cousins, 6 degrees of familial corruption here, was in the Sheriff's Department. And he said to this member of my immediate family who was appealing on this aunt's behalf, he said, look, I'm going to tell you right now, there's more going on here than you're fully educated on, and I'm telling you to stay out of this. And his son ends up not dead, but they find him in his patrol car with a hose running from his exhaust into the car.
What?
I am not making this up. Okay? And this is Geneva County, Alabama, right on the border of the Florida Panhandle, okay? That's everywhere, okay?
Jesus.
You and I looked into a situation regarding an NOPD type situation, right?
Oh, yeah.
The cop killed himself, and the guy that he quite possibly set up is in life without parole. Probably another such situation. I don't know that that's a situation you're going to dig too deeply into in the NOPD.
Yeah.
Without taking a ride out to the Honey Island Swamp that you're not going to like.
Oof.
I mean, these situations exist, and I mean, come on, we're talking about international players here.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know that there's so much of that machine. I don't mean this to sound cynical by any means. I'm sure everybody's going, oh, sure you don't. No, I think that there's got to be a cadre. You've got to have a broader base of support for this. I mean, hence why, you know, one of the aforementioned situations, the one not in Floribama, we haven't moved on yet.
Yeah.
Because I've already been dead, been there, done that, got the scars to show it. It's not that. I would like to affect the change a little bit more before I get offed, you know?
Well, we better watch ourselves.
Well, you laugh. The NOPD is nothing to fool with, dude.
I believe it.
Us in Detroit, two lowest paid metropolitan police forces in the country, and Tony, it's there's probably some folks that you don't cross with stuff like this, and I imagine, okay, one of these situations is in Geneva County, Alabama.
Clearly,
it's in New Orleans, Louisiana. How much more so is it embedded in a place, a cesspool like Washington, D.C.?
Well, I know because I've watched House of Cards, so.
We lived it.
Yeah, that's true. That's also true.
I mean, come on. Think about this. The day you were there, the day after President Barack Obama delivered this wonderful, glowing, just saccharine syrup address on buying Americans. So things are very clear. George W. Bush is a racist and everything's your fault. And we're going to buy American, right? The next day, Walter Reed, the president's hospital supply contract goes to a Canadian company.
Yeah.
You can't make that up.
No, no.
You can't tell me money didn't change hands there. You know, the difference is Trump's group has just been more brazen. But let me, the coup de grace on Obama and Biden and Clinton aren't squeaky clean. Why do you think that donations to the Clinton Foundation dried up after she lost the election? No more quid pro quo, my friend.
All right. We're at 20 minutes. We're about... We're putting,
don't you judge me.
We're putting tinfoil hats on now, but I see your point. I do.
Look at the tax filings.
No.
Didn't make that up.
I believe you. I trust you.
You are judging me.
I trust you. Ah. All right. We got one more show to do. So, until next time.
Au revoir.
See ya.